Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm not sure he can move on unless Wednesday... The airing of the grievances, the Festivus, unless Wednesday's Festivus was all about getting it off his chest so he can go into the football season unencumbered. I look forward to hearing more of your reaction to Aaron Rodgers in all of his glory. Finally, he speaks. And so we'll get back to that on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, named after the show, Super Easy, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. We have so many other NFL storylines as we head into now what is the first few days of every camp being in full session. It's pretty amazing. And yet Aaron Rodgers still dominates. But we're going to get to some of the other storylines. The general manager and head coach of the Houston Texans talking about Deshaun Watson and his role. Lamar Jackson, who just tested positive for COVID again for the second time in 8 months. He's got this really unique plan. He doesn't want to just retire a single number. He wants to retire a pair of numbers. And still, Devontae Adams weighing in on the return of one Aaron Rodgers. So we've got a lot more to do from the football realm. And to that end, really excited to welcome longtime sports agent, longtime NFL agent, Kelly Masters, who joins us now from Oklahoma City. And Kelly, I know it's early for you, although these days, how in the world do you ever sleep? You have so much going on. You're getting your guys ready to go to an actual training camp this season, which is awesome. So different from where we were a year ago. The teams are actually preparing for preseason games. How different does it feel to you after everything that you and your clients went through in the last year and a half?
I think I can speak for all of my players and maybe all agents that care about their players the way I do. We are so, so thankful things are back to relatively normal. It feels like a normal football season or normal training camp. And I'm so thankful for that. We've had a semi-normal off season with OTAs and mini camps. But going back to training camp, it really does feel like we're doing things, you know, the way we're used to. And I'm so excited. I'm ready to get on the road and go see everybody. I think the biggest thing was when the NFL and the NFLPA came out with their agreed protocols of, you know, here's what players, if they're vaccinated, here's what they're going to be allowed to do. If they're unvaccinated, here are the restrictions. And it really, without forcing players, it kind of forced players to choose to get the vaccine.
Yes.
And so it was like, yeah, you have a choice, but not really. So lots of discussions with my players and really just helping them make the best choice for their health and their future. And I think, I can't speak for everyone, but we all decided that, you know, if it is best, if you feel comfortable and you've talked to your doctor about getting the vaccine, that's the best thing to do.
It's interesting that you say that because I was joking about this on the air my last show. The NFL, as you say, did not require vaccines, but by putting out that memo strategically a week or so before training camp started, have you not seen how the numbers have completely skyrocketed? All these players who maybe weren't opposed to it, weren't necessarily in favor of it, just kind of in no man's land, but the protocols really did become one of this strenuous suggestion. Otherwise, you're going to be ostracized by your entire team.
Oh, really? There was no real legitimate way to be part of the team on a daily basis, truly be part of the team, unless you're vaccinated. I thought the reaction was interesting because everyone, you know, a lot of players were fine with going and getting the vaccine, just not really objecting to it until the memo came out. And then it's like, wait, you're going to require this? You know, I don't have a choice. This isn't right. So there were definitely some intense discussions, but I think when it comes down to it, players are, for the most part, ready to do whatever they need to do, include taking the vaccine. I actually just got my first dose a couple of days ago, simply because I knew that I would be prohibited from being around my players this season. And I'd really honestly been on the fence on deciding what to do, but that knowing that that could impact my ability to do my job, I had to do it.
Well, that was the big reason for me was about being able to visit with my 99-year-old grandmother with no restrictions and knowing that I could sit with her as long as I wanted with no mask and hug her and spend time in her apartment. I certainly understand that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and my favorite agent in all of sports, Kelly Masters. I wish she could be my agent, but she's working hard with her NFL clients as they are reporting to training camp and getting underway with new players, whether it's rookies incoming or free agents who are changing teams. How do you prepare them for training camp and for what's to come and for this process of competing for a spot or just trying to find your way on an NFL roster?
You know, I don't know if there's a way to have a player 100% prepared for what he's about to go through. We start those conversations pretty early on when I first sign a player, really start recruiting a player of, you know, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. It's not just about getting you through the draft. It's really also helping you prepare for life in the NFL and even after the NFL. And so those discussions about what to expect, what the expectations are going to be on a player when they walk in the door of their facility for the first time and walk into training camp and onto the field for the first time in that environment, I do the best I can to prepare them because it's physically demanding. It's emotionally and mentally demanding. I prepare every rookie player that at some point you're going to hit a wall, maybe several times during training camp. And that's normal and that's natural. And you just have to be ready to push through it. And I also have some of my older players that will pour into my younger players. I found that that's really helpful. They can hear it from me, you know, like we hear things from our parents all the time, but then we hear it from somebody else. When they hear it from another player who has been where they are, it can make a big difference. So I try to make sure that my younger guys and my guys that are switching teams have some mentorship and some leadership in their lives.
There's obviously been a huge discussion in the sports world and beyond about mental health for athletes, and that's come under a microscope more than I think ever in light of what happened with Simone Biles at the Olympics, but also on the heels of Naomi Osaka, one of the top tennis players in the world, taking 2 months away from her sport. And I found that the support for these young women is overwhelming, and yet sometimes I compare that to the way that we put male athletes, especially football players, under a microscope when they are out too much for injuries or when they are declared injury prone or soft or not tough enough. How often does mental health come up with your athletes these days?
You know, it's something that I think now, as opposed to maybe 10 or 15 years ago, now is something that players are more willing to open up about. And if they need help, if they need support, if they need to just talk through things or maybe get some tools to be, for their mental side of training and mental side of preparation. I think they're much more willing to be open about that and seek that help. Sports has, certainly from my experience growing up as an athlete and training, and competing and knowing and being around athletics for so long, there's always been the physical component as well as the mental component. And so I think there are several discussions happening right now. One has to do with mental health, which of course impacts, you know, can impact anyone. And then when we're talking about athletes, it's a similar conversation, but not exactly the same. There's the day-to-day mental health and staying mentally healthy and being aware of those issues in life. But then there's the mental strength training, if you will. And I think we recognize now that we have, you know, trainers and coaches on the physical side of sports, but we also need to prepare athletes and help athletes prepare to be mentally tough and to face adversity, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally, and to be prepared for that. So there's, you know, there's the mental health on a daily basis, and there's the mental health under that extraordinary pressure that all athletes face when they're competing at a high level.
Mm. Did you ever think when you got into the business of being an agent that you would have to be full service like this?
You know, I guess the answer is yes. I didn't, maybe not to the extent, but again, I grew up competing, and, you know, people will laugh at me if I talk about competing.
No, it's a real competing sport.
I was a competitive baton twirler. I competed internationally. And I remember those moments of, I remember being at my first world championships in Amsterdam. And even though no one really in the world cared, I knew that my parents had sacrificed for years. I knew that I had put in thousands and thousands of hours to prepare for my one moment on the floor. And before I took the floor, I was terrified. I was saying, I don't want to do this. This is terrible. I'd rather be anywhere else but here. But yet I knew that I had prepared so much and I had sacrificed, and so many people had helped and sacrificed along the way so much, that I was ready for that moment. And I needed to push through that fear and get on the floor. And so those experiences I carried into working with the athletes that I do now, where I can sit down with them and say, look, I get it. This is going to be, the pressure is going to be intense. And playing football is that's dangerous. It's a dangerous sport.
Right.
And so it's physically and mentally and emotionally demanding. And I honestly feel like I was ready to tackle that conversation.
How many years has it been now since you first got your agent status?
Oh my goodness. It was, I was taking the exam 16 years ago today.
No way.
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
Happy anniversary. Years. That's amazing.
Thank you. It's so hard to believe.
Time flies, and yet you've invested so much. I'm sure there are times when it feels like you have a lot more gray hair than you did. I know it feels like that for me in my
that's
business.
Literal. Yeah, that's literally more gray hair than I ever thought I would have. But all worth it. All
yes.
worth it.
Her name is Kelly Masters. 15 years. Oh, my goodness. And she's the founder of KMM Sports and represents clients in a bunch of different sports, but the NFL is primary and has a lot of clients who are now starting out their training camps. And she's got her brand new law firm, and somewhere along the line she had time to write a book, which is crazy. We're so glad to have Kelly with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so tell me seriously, how did you find time in your schedule to write a book? But it's a dream come true, yeah. So I knew it was important.
It is. It's funny. I grew up such a reader, and I remember wandering through, you know, Barnes and Noble and just pulling out books and reading them. But I never in a million years thought I would actually write a book that would be at Barnes and Noble, or, you know, someone could order a book and read it and hold it in their hands. Since I was young, I've always been a journaler. And so when I started even my agent journey, I journaled a lot. And a lot of times it was when I was traveling. So if I was on a plane, instead of watching a movie or sleeping, which I do like to do those things, if I really felt up to it, I would pop out my laptop or my journal and just start writing about experiences and the hard lessons I was learning along the way and the things that I felt like were going to be important to teach my players. Because I am in such a position to have influence on their lives. And so I really started without even thinking about it being a book. I started writing down all of my thoughts and experiences and stories. And that became High Impact Life. That's the book that everyone's about to read, and I'm so excited about it.
Well, first of all, the cover's beautiful. So as a girl who is attracted to bright colors, the cover is perfect. And of course, you've got some pretty amazing people who have written forewords or written testimonials. And so I'm really excited. Yeah. It showed up at my house not that long ago. So thank you for the copy. What is the vision of this book, High Impact Life?
It's not an autobiography. I don't feel like I'm old enough to write a memoir. Maybe I am.
No.
That's for way down the road. And when I first wrote the manuscript, I sent it into the publisher and I said, well, Kelly, this is pretty intense. Like, can you make it sound a little bit more fun? Can you make your job sound a little bit less difficult? I'm like, well, I'm telling the truth. And so some of the stories didn't make the cut in the book, but there are so many fun, some tough stories, some inspirational stories. As I was reading even for the audiobook, I teared up, I laughed. So hopefully people really enjoy what they're going to feel when they read it. So it's basically the 10 lessons that I try to instill in each of my NFL players that I work with, because every lesson is not just for professional athletes. It's for everybody. Sometimes I need to go back and reread a chapter just because I need the lesson, whether it's about faith or overcoming fear or, being who God made you to be and being courageous in that. There are just some really important lessons. They're not, not finding your self-worth and value in other people's opinions or in your job. So many lessons that have been important to me and to my players, and now I get to share them with readers. So every single chapter is a different one and contains a story from me and a story from a player and even a story from the Bible. So it's a pretty fun journey.
Did you have to narrow down the list as you were putting the book together?
Yes, it did. There will probably be, future books in the works. I hadn't really planned on it, but it now, yeah, there's just so much that I didn't get to share yet. So, but this is a fun start.
That's amazing. Well, again, congratulations. That's so much fun. It had to be emotional for you when you first saw the book, because it was emotional for me, just as someone who loves you as my sister. But what was that like the first time you held the book in your hands?
Oh, my gosh. I tweeted a video. My husband pulled out his phone when I got home and the box was there. And it's a kind of scrappy video because of the way he filmed it. It looks like a home movie, but, I sat down and opened the box and really just lost it. I started tearing up and couldn't really speak. I was so, I felt like I'd just given birth. Like, there's my baby. It's so cute. So I hope everyone else thinks my book baby is as cute as I think it is. No, I'm kidding. It was just surreal moment. Books have been such an important part of my life. My favorite author in the world, Andy Andrews, wrote the foreword and has become a dear friend of mine. And it's just, it's a moment I'll never forget.
Mm. So the photo on the cover, it looks like it's inside a stadium where maybe the Super Bowl champions have just been crowned, because there's confetti everywhere.
Confetti, yes.
Did that photo come from a personal collection, or is that one that someone else decided would fit with the book?
We worked on the design of the book, and it was such a fun process. Like, the whole book process was fun. It was so new to me. Maybe it wasn't as much fun for my publisher, but every step of the way, I was just so excited to be part of a creative process. And they sent me about 6 or 7 covers, potential covers, to decide between. I knew I didn't want my picture on the front of it.
Yes.
That just didn't seem right. But I wanted something that was going to really reach out and grab people. And I also wanted it to be exciting and appealing, even for people who don't love football or don't, necessarily embrace sports the way that I do, or don't live, in the sports world. I really wanted them to be drawn into it. And I remember my very earliest memories going to a football game, a University of Oklahoma football game. I was probably 3 or 4. And I will never forget the pageantry of it. The guns going, the Sooner Schooner and the Roughnecks shooting their guns. And it was so loud, and the band playing Boomer Sooner. And I just was so in love with the pageantry of it. And I think that that draws everybody into it. So that's what we tried to capture.
I have to ask about your reaction to OU in Texas wanting to depart to the SEC. Oh, my goodness.
It is so I probably use the word surreal too much, but it's so surreal because it's been, you know, as long as I can remember, it's been, you know, Big 8 and then Big 12. But then there was the big bad SEC that we always felt like Big 12 was in competition with the SEC. And here we are joining them. So, yeah, Oklahoma and Texas, I think it's going to be really, really interesting. Obviously, it's the financial reasoning behind it is that's what makes it make sense. But I think the fallout is going to be pretty far reaching. So we'll see how that goes.
Definitely domino effects as we head down the road in college sports. All right. So Kelly Masters with KMM Sports as an agent getting set for training camp, but as a brand new author has the book coming out. It's called High Impact Life, A Sports Agent's Secrets to Finding and Fulfilling a Purpose You Can't Lose. I love that. It's a promise. It comes with a promise. So, Kelly, it's always a privilege to have you on the show. I can't wait to finish reading the book I've started. I love the passion. The passion is my favorite part always.
Thank you so much, Amy. Well, and I hear that in your voice every single time we talk and every single time I listen to you. And you're definitely someone who lives a high-impact life. So this book is about you, too.
Well, that's why we're sisters, girl.
Love it.
That is definitely why we have walked this path in our careers together. Not the same, not quite the same, but certainly a lot of challenges and emotions that run parallel to one another. So I love, love, love Kelly. So excited for her to have this first book. It comes out first week of August, High Impact Life. I know you can pre-order it already on Amazon and other places. And I dare say that there needs to be a video of the first time she sees her book on the shelf at Barnes & Noble. Kelly is just one of the amazing women that I've been honored to have on the show in the first half of 2021. We were putting together a list a couple of shows ago, producer Dave and I, and it's been amazing, the number of women who have high-impact lives, whether still competing in sports, whether coaching, whether guiding in the realm of an agent or an advisor, a mental health coach. We've just had so many awesome women on the show, and I love that I can give that platform to many women and that I have that connection with them that, let's be honest, not every male host would have. So cool to have Kelly back, and I hope you'll check out her book at KMM Sports on Twitter. 855-212-4227. We're excited to get back to your calls and your reaction to Aaron Rodgers. It's very clear Aaron cannot separate head from heart, and that's okay because that's how I operate as a talk show host. I'll never be able to separate my heart from the career that I have, not after I've put so much of my heart into it. I can identify with Aaron on that angle at least. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
First drive of the second half for Green Bay. Rodgers under center. A.J. Dillon, the lone setback. Swat to the left side. Rodgers takes, fakes to Dillon. Rodgers, lots of time. Still waiting. Throws, middle, end zone. Touchdown. Yes, Devontae Adams, wide open.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Will you respect me less? You may not respect me now, but will you respect me less if I tell you that this is the song that I clean bathrooms to? It's my new favorite song. Now, I know we don't have the version with the lyrics. However, this is Dua Lipa and Baby, but Dua Lipa with Levitating. And on Friday of last week, I was cleaning bathrooms and I felt like I needed a little levitation in my life. And so I put this song on. And I kid you not, it was the only song I listened to for probably the good 20 minutes that I was cleaning bathrooms over and over and over again. But you know, the bathroom cleaning process takes longer when you stop to dance around every couple of seconds. I couldn't help it. The song forces me to dance along with it. So yeah, it's I'm not hip or cool, but that is my
my favorite cool song right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Let's talk to JP, who's in Texas. JP, what do you think about Aaron Rodgers?
Good morning, Amy. Thank you for taking my phone call. I think Aaron Rodgers, this is going to be his final season. He's going to hang up his cleats. He's going to marry the movie actress, and he's going to be a Hollywood actor.
Oh, you think so?
I got a feeling.
I wonder if he's going to have to cut his hair for that or wear the man bun. He could wear the man bun.
Yeah.
He's not really a Southern California guy. He's a Northern California guy. I don't know how good of an actor he will be. I feel like he is... He's not great at masking his emotions and morphing into something else. But I do feel like he brings a lot of his emotion into his performances if you watch what we got from him on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what would make you think that he's going to retire? Or are you just joking?
Well, I mean, they're going to void his contract, right, at the end of this year?
No. At the end of... So the way that's been reported, and I haven't seen the details myself, but that they're going to void the final year of his deal, which is 2023, and that he is going to have some say in what happens at the end of this season. If he wants out, if they want to go to Jordan Love, yada, 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 they'll trade him and they'll try to do it to a team where he wants to play.
Oh, I see.
Gotcha.
I see.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I appreciate your phone call, JP. Okay, I've promised you this. Devontae Adams, his reaction to having Aaron Rodgers back on the field.
I think we all are excited in this building to have him back. Obviously, there's a little uncertainty of what would happen, but, having him back, the energy's been great. Everybody's been real receptive and, understanding of his situation. And, it's time to play ball now.
It is time to play ball. Now, Devontae was also asked about his contract status and his own negotiations. And as soon as I heard him start to answer, instantly I thought of the joint social media post between he and Aaron Rodgers, in which they used a photo of Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, theoretically referring to the Last Dance, and set off a wild round of speculation about whether or not the two of them were saying this will be our last dance. I think it's pretty clear that Rodgers thinks this is going to be his last season in Green Bay, even if it's not played out that way yet. If he wins another MVP, yes, the Packers would be crazy to trade him, but he may decide he wants to get out before they part ways with him, right? So that's kind of getting back to my breakup analogy. Very often as human beings, we would rather do the dumping and do the walking away than be the one who is rejected and dumped. And so what do? We think we see the writing on the wall and we say, no, I'm leaving you before you leave me. Kind of sounds like that's where Aaron Rodgers is headed. Like, you're not committing to me. I need a commitment. You're not committing. Ooh, I wonder if Danica Patrick finds any karma in this whatsoever. Anyway, I digress. I do wonder a little bit, though, what her reaction is to all this. Rodgers wants a commitment. The team's not giving it to him, at least not convincingly enough for him. And so what does he do? He says, I want the power to be able to decide what happens next. If you don't want me here, then I want to be able to decide where I go next. And the team isn't saying yes to that, but is saying we'll revisit the situation after the season. So the team still has the power, unless Rodgers wants to retire, and it's clear he does not. So Devontae Adams and his contract negotiations, and we'll get to that coming up. But also, there's other stuff. That's the technical term, stuff happening around the world in football training camps. And I also want you to hear from the GM and the head coach of the Houston Texans, who were talking about Deshaun Watson being in camp. So we'll get to as much as we possibly can on Twitter. A-Law Radio just got a really interesting question from Chris as well about the Zoom call with my new boss. Oh, did I not tell you what happened with the new boss? Fine. I'll try to fill you in. I'll try to keep you updated, peeps.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
Hey, good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I really enjoy listening to your show. I actually get up and go to work earlier just so I can hear your takes.
Amy, I love your show. I've been listening for years, and I'm a first-time caller.
Great, thank you.
How you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
I've been listening to you for about a year now. You keep up the good show, and I'll keep listening.
Good morning.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You do a great job. Love listening in. Just get me home every night. I don't know how you do it by yourself.
Love you, Amy. I drive home from work every night. I'm a bartender, and I listen to you every night. Love hearing a lady on sports radio.
That's right. We rock. Thanks so much. I appreciate your phone call.
Woo!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you are waking up on your Thursday morning, woo, you are that much closer to the weekend. I don't know how you all do it, waking up at this hour. It's just obscene, really. I'd rather be awake all night. But one of the benefits of being awake or staying up all night is that you're either getting a replay of a lot of what happened in the Olympics over the last 24 hours, or you're getting live events. So right now I have men's volleyball on my TV, on NBC Sports Network, and I've got archery. I believe that's the official term for it. I was going to say I've got bows and arrows, but I've got archery on my TV on USA. You know, coming up in 2 hours is the women's gymnastics individual all-around competition. There is no Simone Biles. She pulled out of that event. Still scheduled at this point for the event finals, which are also individual, but those wouldn't happen until Sunday. But Jade Carey takes her place as the all-around contestant, along with Suni Lee, representing the red, white, and blue. So I will be cheering with all of my heart for both Jade and Suni. And, of course, that will be the marquee event that NBC airs in primetime coming up on Thursday evening. I did have one question on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Why aren't they showing medal ceremonies? Why aren't they showing the playing of the anthems? They're definitely not showing them as much, and I think it's more about them trying to cram in as many events as they possibly can on what a lot of times is tape-delayed coverage. But the swimming has been live, and so they're hopping around, and they're cramming as much in as possible. And while I have seen a few of the medal ceremonies, I have seen a few of the anthems played. You're right, I haven't seen nearly as many as what we would if it were just a live stream of events all the time. Say the games were taking place closer to our time zones here in the United States. But the one that I did see that I loved, going back to the Caleb Dressel emotion after he won the 100-meter freestyle, he not only was bawling his eyes out on the podium as he's wearing his gold medal and hearing the anthem, but they show his family on video call, still on video, and his family is all standing at attention. They're all emotional as they're honoring the national anthem in solitude with Caleb. And I know these ceremonies have changed this year. In fact, the athletes are putting the medals around their own necks, so it's a little bit different. They're wearing masks, but there was no way to mask the emotion that we got from Caleb Dressel. Man, what a night for him in the pool. Actually, not night there, but you know what I'm talking about. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Wayne Larrivee, by the way, is the voice of the Packers on their radio network. I neglected to mention that in our last segment. I promised that you would hear about Devontae Adams and his own contract negotiation. So he's thrilled to have Aaron Rodgers back. But what does this mean about him and his future with the Packers?
My focus, man, what I attribute all my success to from high school, college up until this point is just kind of focusing on the moment. And, now it's just time. We had a lot of time to figure this thing out. And we weren't really able to make a whole lot of progress. Sadly. So, not to get into the details of anything because, it's a pretty confidential situation, but it's tough, man, because the way that this league goes is if you perform well, you're supposed to get compensated properly for that. And if you underperform, you get cut with no questions asked or however the team decides to deal with it. Maybe you don't get cut, but, get reduced or whatever it is. And, it's not a whole lot of back and forth that goes on with that. So, you know, it's tough when you feel like you contribute a lot. You know, I've invested a lot in this town in general.
So Devontae Adams admits there hasn't been a whole lot of progress, and it's a little bit disheartening, though he is trying to focus on football now. He is scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent after this season. So if Rodgers is gone and they can't find an agreement with Devontae that suits what he thinks is commensurate with his abilities and with his accomplishments, then you very well could have both those guys going different ways. That would be devastating for the Packers to lose them both at the same time. Devastating. Devastating. I can't think about it. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to John in Alaska, and then we will get to the Houston general manager and head coach. John, thank you for waiting.
No, it's not a problem. Thank you for taking the call, Amy.
You're welcome.
I just have a comment and a challenge. The comment is, I think it's all about control. I think Rodgers wants to be able to say where he's going to go. And I think he's going to try and get a contract change or modification that will give him that power.
Well, he may already have that, John. So we haven't seen the exact details of the new contract, though. It sounds like
I think that's going to play a part.
It sounds like the Packers may be willing to. Well, they're going to readdress his status with the team after this season, but with no more guaranteed money, they would either have to extend him more than likely, or they would have to find a place for him. And he's supposed to have a say in that.
I don't think it's about money, though. I think he's got enough money.
Well,
I think it's about being able to say where he goes next.
Maybe, or maybe it's about feeling like the Packers have let him know that they don't want him to go anywhere else. So maybe one of those
things.
That
could be it too. I've got a challenge for you.
Oh no!
I want you to name
No. Why do people always put me on the spot like this and try to embarrass me?
It's like if I
don't do it right, then all of a sudden I suck at sports.
You misunderstood me then. I love movies about the Olympics.
Okay.
And I'm going to name two of them, and then I want to know what your favorite movies about the Olympics are. My two favorite movies about the Olympics are Chariots of Fire.
Okay. I never saw that one, believe it or not.
And Eddie the Eagle. I bet you haven't seen that one either.
Well, I haven't seen the movie, but I know who Eddie the Eagle is. When I was a kid, I certainly watched Eddie the Eagle. He was a cult hero, for heaven's sakes.
They made a lovely, lovely movie about it.
Oh, did they?
Rather than see it.
Okay.
Is there a movie about the Olympics that you love?
Well, you're going to laugh, but I certainly love Miracle. That's the one. Well, I don't laugh at that. I love Miracle. Miracle is a great movie. But also,
yes.
I Tanya. Do you remember I, Tanya?
I never saw I, Tanya.
All right. Well, it's pretty dramatic. So Miracle's my favorite, no doubt. I think that that was a brilliant movie. And I really liked Cool Runnings. Do you remember that one, too? That was about the Jamaican bobsled team.
Yeah, the Jamaican bobsledders, yes.
Yes, okay, so those are probably my favorite two, would be Miracle and Cool Runnings.
Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome, John. I feel better now, because usually when people say, I have a question I want you to answer, or a challenge, it's about trivia, sports trivia, which I'll readily admit that when the pressure's on, I stink at it. I can go to a local sports bar and be a ringer on your team when it comes to sports trivia, but... Yeah, generally when people call up and they want me to answer trivia questions, they make them uber hard because they want to embarrass me. My apologies to John, because clearly that was not what he was trying to do. Yeah, do you remember Cool Runnings? James, I know you're a little younger than me, but did you watch Cool Runnings?
Yes, love Cool Runnings.
That is, it's not only a funny movie, but it's very inspirational. So I love that. And I, Tanya, is just so melodramatic. I mean, the whole situation between Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan is super dramatic. Anyway, it's like a real life thing, which makes it even worse. But also Miracle. I mean, now I need to go watch it again. Such a good movie. Such a good movie. So, okay, I feel better now. I answered that question. I don't know if it was correct or not, but okay, to Houston Texans camp. And we should at some point have a guest from Houston radio over the next week or so to just kind of help us know exactly what's going on with Deshaun Watson. But according to Nick Caserio, yes, he's participating. But at this point, they don't really have a whole lot to add on top of, okay, he's playing football.
He reported for training camp the other day. I know the league put out a statement and made some comments about where they are in that process. And again, I think from our perspective, it's a day-to-day endeavor. You know, we're going to take the information. We're going to process that. We're respectful of everybody and everything that's involved. So we'll kind of take it one day at a time. I'd say we've had conversations. I'm not going to get into the nature of those conversations. Again, he's here. You know, he's been in meetings. He went through the conditioning test, you know, just like however many other players that we had that were here. So, again, we're going to take it one day at a time, Ed. You know, we're going to do what we feel is best on a day-to-day basis.
So that's Nick Caserio looking at it from the perspective of a GM, right? As for David Culley, I feel bad for this guy. First head coaching job. He's waited for years to get an opportunity, and this is what gets handed to him. And so he is ever the optimist. Have you noticed that about Culley? He is all sunshine and roses, baby.
He's been just like everybody else. He's been strictly a pro in everything that we're doing, just like everybody else on our team has been. I mean, no distraction at all.
The man is got his rose-colored glasses on, and I'm glad for him because it's his first opportunity. He's waited forever. Let him enjoy however long it lasts, and it may not last very long because the Texans are, I don't love the term dumpster fire when it comes to sports, but they do feel that way. Hey, former Texan J.J. Watt, who actually took a private plane with his family and his dogs and everything else to his first training camp in Arizona. There was a really cool photo out there of his dogs on the plane. I think Penny would kill me if I tried to put her on a plane. But I suppose if it's a private jet like that, a charter with where she could lay out in the seats that are leather all by herself, maybe it would take some of the pain away. Anyway, he showed up at training camp and then was promptly put on the PUP list, physically unable to perform. I'm sure there are no Texans fans out there who are smiling about that. Come on, J.J. Watt was really good to you. But yeah, he wants to be healthy for week one kickoff against the Tennessee Titans, but he's got a hammy. The man's got a hammy. J.J.'s dealing with a hammy, and so he doesn't know exactly when he'll be back on the field. But as a veteran, I wouldn't say training camp is so important from start to finish, though he is with a new team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.